Welcome to CSB Collaborative. My name is Kelly Evans, personal banker here at Community Savings Bank, and I am excited to host this episode of CSB Collaborative. Today, I'm happy to have Robert Stiles here with us from Revolution Realty to talk about the housing market, the steps of buying and selling a home, and of course, Revolution Realty. Rob, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Kelly. Glad to be here.
Rob, to start off, tell our listeners a bit about yourself and Revolution Realty.
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Robert Stiles. I have been in this area since basically my sophomore year of high school. And I've been a licensed real estate agent since 2010. That's hard to believe for me that 12 years has happened in my career already. So it's been great. Kind of a local guy for the most part. Got family and friends here. My office and real estate company is down in the Nubo District area in the Water Tower Place building. And other than that, I could continue on, but it'd be a biography if I wasn't careful. So yeah, love the area. Love Cedar Rapids.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners why you decided to start a real estate company, of all things?
Well, basically in 2010, I had worked in real estate, I actually worked in technology at AT&T. And believe it or not, in 2010, you could only have, 8 photos on the MLS. So that was before kind of, Zillow was like a dominant power, and Trulia was there, and Facebook, agents didn't even use Facebook at that time hardly. I remember when I worked at another company here in town, we had our meetings, and some of the agents were kind of on a peer board, and they're talking about how they were starting to use Facebook, and I was already using it, and I'm just like, wow, like we are way behind. So I, kind of came into an industry at a time where things were starting to turn over in terms of technology and just the way that things are, happening in the industry. And coming from my own background of having a little bit more tech savvy understanding, I didn't know, necessarily what needed to be changed so much or what opportunities were out there. But I just knew that it seemed like this industry in general was really kind of behind the eight ball. It was 2010. And that seems like so long ago, but we were still doing pretty good. And a lot of it was, just so old school that I just kept kind of figuring out, hey, what do I want to do? How do I make real estate work for me? Do I just track down the, old ways that every other agent is going about their business? Or is there another way that works for me? And I was in the business for a couple of years and, I wasn't sure what I really wanted to do with it, like I was kind of saying. So I went to another firm and that one was pretty good. It was a smaller firm, so I was able to work more closely with my broker at the time and kind of get a feel for what, really is going on in real estate, right? And then I worked there for about a year and 2 or 3 months, and then I felt like, hey, I'm the kind of guy that likes to do things myself for better or for worse. I might be the guy in the garage that's like screaming and banging at something because I just want it to work, But I just really was like, hey, I kind of started to gain a little experience and then decided, hey, I want to open my own firm and take a crack at this, and had a ton of success. But then, really wanted to scale back because it was almost just too much. You still want to have a life. You still want to have your sanity. And when your phone's never stopping, that's not work-life balance. I'll just put it that way.
Right.
So trying to get some wisdom. And I guess overall, to answer your question, why did I start Revolution Realty? Just because I like to do things my own way, and I just felt like there were a lot of holes in the market that could kind of be addressed in a way that maybe I saw fit that wasn't really happening.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, it's been amazing to watch Revolution Realty grow here in the last few years. Share with our listeners why they should choose Revolution Realty for their next home transaction.
Ooh, that's a good one. Well, you'd be helping a local business, so that would be key. We like that. And there's several good real estate brokerages out there that are, locally owned. There's some franchises also. For us, you know, the name Revolution Realty Team, our brokerage is slightly different in the way that we actually, our whole company is a part of a team. So it's not like, hey, I just get Rob and his, you know, expertise when I list with my company or work with my company. We have a good system. So you get a whole team working for you. And that's awesome because there's a lot of power in the team. We're able to extend and do a lot more when we, you know, leverage those others around us.
That's a good idea. That's a good approach.
Thanks. Yeah. It just seemed natural to me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I know your team also has a podcast. What prompted you to start the podcast and what is the goal of it?
That's great. The podcast is really to be able to, you know, help share and educate with what we know. I know reality series and stuff like that have been really popular, you know, in the last 15 years or so. And I think that people like that because they get a chance to kind of, you know, see inside of something that they don't normally have a chance to see. So with real estate, we're the experts, and it's nice for us to just be able to talk about what's happening in the market, amongst other things. And also it's a great platform for, you know, our guests, like you had come on and, and that's great. And we have other vendors and folks that come on, and it's really just a way to be able to knowledge share and to, you know, leverage the strength of our vendor network and just really be symbiotic and collaborative to, help educate, really. It's really just all about pretty much education. So,
right.
And it's good.
So. Yeah. And I know when we did the podcast with your team, you know, we covered a lot of different areas and kind of gives people, maybe you mentioned something that, oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
So it just kind of gives them points to think about. So.
And how often are you like hanging out with like, you know, a banker and an agent and, you know, just being able to pick their brains? And in this, like, we go through a lot of things. And so when we kind of go off topic, it's like, oh, well, here's why. Here's a story about that. Or it just helps connect the dots for people that are interested in any, you know, anything related to the podcast we might be doing.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. So
that's good. No, it's great.
Well, as we both know, the housing market has been a little crazy the last year.
It has.
What do you foresee happening with the market in the next few months?
Well, I think, okay, so basically from Thanksgiving to Christmas, it always starts to kind of slow down anyways. So we have kind of like an annual cycle that we're, you know, going through. But at the same time, I can't say for sure without looking at the data, but man, I know in my 12 years, I've never seen interest rates, you know, doing what they're doing right now, just in terms of just the movement, just incredible movement. I mean, last year you could get a 2.5% and now we're, you know, tickling at 7. So it's like, wow. And granted, we've never seen, you know, a coronavirus or a stimulus package and an inflation effort by the Fed to, you know, try and tighten everything up. I think that overall, like, you know, the whole world's just changing so much. And so I guess on the seasonal start part of it, you know, it starts to slow down, like I'd mentioned. But with the interest rates, it is really starting to kind of push the market down a little bit. The demand for the buyers has started to slow a little bit. In the higher price ranges, it's slowing down a little bit. People still always need a place to live. It's not like a stock where, you know, you can just dump your investment. It's like, no, you have to live somewhere. And that's the beauty about a house in a way being an investment also. But the lower price ranges, they still have a ton of activity right now because they're more affordable, right? It's like, without doing the math, it's hard to say off the top of my head. But if you were going to buy, let's say, like, you know, a $100,000 house at a, let's just say 3 or 3.5% interest rate, your payment is vastly different for that same house at a 7%, probably in the, you know, area of $300 or $400 a month in just interest. So, you know, you can't afford as much house. So that starts to bring those housing prices down over time. We're just kind of starting to see that because, as you know, earlier in the year and last year, this has been the most, I think, incredible aggressive seller's market that I know for me that I've ever seen in this area. And granted, I kind of got in at the last, you know, dump in 2008, you know, we had the financial crisis. So me being in at 2010, I was kind of on the rebound. So I watched sort of, you know, the whole cycle go. And now we're back at the top of another one, trying to kind of understand, you know, what that means again. And it's definitely interesting. But I would just say, you know, people always need a place to live. And you know, if you're thinking about buying or anything like that, try not to only think about the investment part, because no matter what, the houses 20 years ago, you know, are still going to be less money than they are today. And so the market as real estate always appreciates by nature. And right. So, you know, if you're going to be in that house for a while, it's really not as big of a deal. You're just going to catch it on a different, you know, cycle. And you need to think about, like, hey, what, no matter what the interest rates do, what's always true. And what is true is, you know, location, you know, and condition. And so it's like, hey, just make, you know, your house the best that you can and enjoy it. And just, you know, realize that the market will stabilize, but it might not be for a little while. And it's hard to say right now in the world how long that'll take, but that's the best part about this investment. You get to live in it.
Right.
So
right.
You get to actually have a benefit.
What's
beyond
happened
just
in the last couple of years is kind of unprecedented. So
exactly.
Yeah.
What are you guys seeing, like, on your side?
It's really slowed down. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot.
Do you think that's
people
a lot?
Just, and people who were, you know, especially like first time home buyers who were looking, they're kind of holding off now, seeing what spring
yeah.
does.
I don't blame them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there aren't a lot of buyers out there right now, just like we're talking about. There are a good amount of people who are working to sell their homes. So as a real estate agent, what tips or tricks do you have for those looking to sell their home?
I think the most important thing is, like, I tell all of my sellers first off, it's like, make sure your house is clean. Like, and I mean clean, like a toothbrush in the corners. And it sounds really silly, but you know, you could pay somebody to clean for you, or you could clean it yourself, but it's like that literally, you know, could be one of the most important things. And that's something that you as a seller can take on yourself and not have to spend a lot of cash, you know, from having a contractor come in and do it. And what I've seen in my time is the houses that are the cleanest, even like, you know, a house that's really dated, like let's say like your grandma lived there and grandpa, but they just took absolute pristine care of this place and it's clean. Somehow those houses sell for like just as much or more than the, you know, house that might be slightly, you know, better in footprint or square footage or whatever. But people just unconsciously know, hey, this has been maintained. This has been taken care of. And when it's clean and there's nothing to, like, you know, all the perimeter and the cracks look good, it's like people just automatically kind of understand, hey, this is okay. This isn't a big deal. And so I think for starters, cleaning. And then I feel like cleaning is pretty synonymous with painting also. You know, our eyes are naturally going to pick up on contrast when we walk into any kind of a space. And if that contrast isn't planned, then it's probably like, you know, a nick in a wall or dirt or something. And we just see that. We might not look at it and be like, oh my God, I don't want to buy this house because of that. But if we see a lot of those things as we come by and go through a house, then it all adds up. And, you know, you don't want to leave it to somebody else's unconscious, you know, understanding or lack thereof to be the dividing factor in why your home isn't selling for as much. And doing those things, your house will sell for a lot more money and for faster anyways. So those are two easy things. But other than that, it's like, just make sure you get a good agent that understands the market. And looking at the MLS, I've been seeing a lot of listings starting to kind of sit there a little while. And I think that's because a lot of agents have been so, you know, pumped up on this ramp up, and it's like, oh my God, we can list for whatever we want now. And there's so much buyer demand that it's like, it's a bidding war. But now that's tapered off. And so you can see, well, hey, these listings are starting to sit. It's not just 10 days on the market or 0 days on the market. It's like, hey, it's 30 days or 20 days. And a lot of that's because sellers haven't gotten caught up either with understanding where they are in the market. They're just like, hey, the market's been the best and we're at the top of a cycle. But, you know, make sure you have an agent that can explain what the logic is about why they're pricing it where it is. And I don't mean just like, hey, let's take three or four properties. I mean, you really want to have an agent that, like, can take a whole side of town and break that down and then, you know, do micro and macro outlooks at what, you know, is going on. And then if you sell it, or if you get it listed correctly, you will sell for faster and for more money, because every day that you're on market and you don't sell to a buyer, that looks like well, what happened? Why haven't you sold? Because the demand is still there to absorb, you know, within that buyer demand, if you're priced right and it's clean and the location and all that stuff is good, you'll still go really fast.
Yeah.
You just got to make sure that you're, you know, being realistic about it. And, you
right.
know, if you start priced a little high, that's all right. You know, not too high, but, you know, you want to test the market, but make sure you make your adjustment, I would say, within the first or second week of, you know, what it is, if you wanted to try and take a shot at something a little higher. But if you haven't sold, like, you want to get it right. So, and spring market's right around the corner, so we'll see what next year holds too.
Yeah, that's good advice. Your team uses a lot of forward-thinking technology, such as interactive 3D open houses, lead generation tools, and electronic signature program. Want to tell us a bit about that?
Again, we live in a really awesome time technologically. And, you know, the 3D houses or open houses are really cool because, heck, man, you can, like, this is insane. It's like you can literally, like, tour a house from your mobile device. Like, are you kidding me? This is just the most wild thing. And if you're really, you know, savvy, you might actually even use VR to do that same tour. And you could literally be in the house from the standpoint of, like, you know, a 3D virtual reality or your mobile device, whatever.
Right.
But those things help out. Also, there are some other cool things within those programs where, let's say it's a new construction. You can go in and we can, you know, tag all of the materials that they use. And so you can literally go in and just, like, oh, click a little link and, oh, here's the material. Here's why and what it's all about. And it's like a retail experience on some level.
Wow, that's really neat.
Yeah. As far as e-signatures go, like, I know that's been around a little while, but that has made life so much better because, God, we've sold houses to people or for people that were out of state that we haven't even met. And I know that sounds crazy, but think about the convenience for those sellers. They're just like, wow, like, I'm done and here's my check.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really incredible. So technology is great if it's leveraged correctly.
Right.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, you guys seem to be really up and up on the technology, so.
We like it.
It's so awesome that you offer those great things to consumers. Let's talk a little bit about the home buying or selling process. Many don't know everything that goes behind it. Would you want to share with our listeners all the crazy stuff that goes on behind the scenes, the real estate agents monitor and take care of the selling buying process?
Well, I would just start to say a really good agent, you know, is basically like a counselor and diplomat and many other, you know, things. But there's so many things. You have, you know, both companies have a title company or both brokerages, right? So there's a broker. And if it's another agent from another firm comes in, you have another broker. So you got two brokers, you got two agents, you have a lender usually or potentially, you have two escrow companies, you have an appraiser, you have inspectors, you have sellers, you have to navigate, you know, getting in and out of the home to do appraisals and inspections. Yeah, I think it's human nature that, let's say we get an offer, like let's say you're a seller and you get an offer, you're like, yay, this is awesome. And you're like, hey, your mind starts to take it and say, okay, well, I've sold my house for these terms. But then once you're not done yet, you have to go through inspections. And so now you got to go through inspections. And sometimes that doesn't go as great as you might want as a seller, but it's okay. I think you have to just zoom back out and be like, okay, before I, you know, hired this agent, before I was on the market, what was my goal? Why am I selling? It's like, bring yourself back out to that, like, Google Earth view and not street view, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah.
And a good agent can help a seller or a buyer do that and be like, hey, what are my goals? What are my priorities? Why am I doing this? Because it's, you know, anytime something changes, humans are resistant to change, right? On
right.
some level. So when in a transaction, something changes and feels uncertain, and we have, you know, most of the time houses are actually, you know, a person's biggest financial investment. So imagine the emotional, like, you know, uncertainty, and it just brings a lot of, like, you know, kind of anxiety and fear at times. And so an agent that's really good, that knows their stuff, can, you know, literally just be a firefighter and just be like, all right, we're putting that fire out. That's not actually real. Here are the options. Here's what it really looks like. Here's why you're doing what you're doing. And let's move on to the next thing. And then people are like, oh my God, thank God. It's like, you're more like a trail guide in a lot of ways than you are a real estate agent, because you're just trying to help people navigate and stay on track.
Right. Kind of the sounding board and
yeah,
sometimes a reality check. Lenders are the same way.
A good lender, anyway.
A good lender.
There's lots of them out there. Yep. They're not all created equal.
You just have to use all your customer service.
I think you got to use your heart, you know, really, and your intellect combined. And so you have to say, hey, like, we live in a really intellectual society in a lot of ways, but it's like, we got to get back to using our heart also. And
I like that.
And doing
that's
both
awesome.
Of those things. Yeah. Because it makes your life actually better as an agent,
right.
Also. You're not like, hey, I just go out here and I just sell my soul for an economic benefit. It's like, that's not really probably a happy person,
no. Usually.
So it's like, you have to find a way to inject some compassion and some actual.
Some empathy.
Yeah. Some truth.
Definitely.
Into that. Yeah.
I like that, to use your heart. I got to remember that.
Well, you know, just do it.
So, Rob, where can our listeners find more information about you and your Revolution Realty team?
Thanks for asking. You can Google us, which a lot of people do, and you'll find our profile there. We're proud of our reviews. We have quite a few good ones and our customer service experience. You could also call 319-849-5252. Or you can find us online, you know, on Facebook, of course, or at www.revolutionrealty.team. And you can find information about how, you know, we have current promo about our 5% commission. Also, you can find out about how we are doing 45-day listing contracts. And that's our way of saying, hey, like, we don't want to be in a bad marriage here. If we haven't done our homework on the front end to get this figured out, you know, hey, 45 days for you isn't the greatest risk, and you don't have to pay anything unless you sell, of course. And for us, it's like, hey, we're not going to be in some negative relationship that we, you know, didn't understand on the front end was the way that it was. So it's like, we're really just trying to make sure that we're shooting correctly, and we're taking that on our side. So we're pumped about those things, and we'll continue to, you know, make adjustments in the market to just be symbiotic with what the needs of that market are.
Yeah, so that's a great approach. I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, thanks. Well, we like it.
Well, Rob, thanks for being our guest on this episode of CSB Collaborative Podcast. It was great having you here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's episode of CSB Collaborative. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. CSB Collaborative can be found on Apple Music, Spotify, our website, or whatever method you're using to listen to us right now. See you next time. Community Savings Bank is a member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Learn more at www.csbiowa.com.